It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm sure glad that you've joined us today as we continue to do the summary over this book of Romans. We have studied it again verse by verse, but we're just kind of doing an overview before we close it out and go to the next book. And so Romans chapter 7, we're going to begin reading with verse 25. Romans 7, 25. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you, this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to phone us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, we have many good studies. Our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, everything is present there. Parkview by www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to email us, you could do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, whichever you prefer to use. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Romans 7, 25. Let's start with 26. Kind of gets us into it there. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We're going to stop there at that 13th verse of chapter 8, and we're going to begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and just enjoy this precious time. It's so wonderful, Father, to be able to open your precious word and just enjoy it. It's so wonderful, Father. I just ask that you'll continue to guide and lead us. And we know, Father, that we must know, we need to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. We must come to the cross and be drawn to that cross through your precious word by the Holy Spirit, showing us that we're a sinner, we're lost, and we need a Savior. So please, dear Lord, just show us so clearly the need of salvation and how easy and simple it is to come to you. All we need to do is surrender to you and call upon you to save our soul. So please, dear Lord, speak to all of our hearts now as we close out the 7th chapter and go into this 8th chapter again, just to kind of pick some of the very important things up that we enjoyed as we studied it the first time. Please just guide and lead us now and grow us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. this seventh chapter, it really is something here, because Paul faces something. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And so, you see, Paul recognized the condition of his soul. He recognized that he was lost and he was dying, and he had no hope until he met Jesus. Now, prior to the time on his way to the road to Damascus there, as he was carrying letters to arrest those that confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, those that were preaching the gospel, and really anyone that said that, "Yes, I know Jesus as my Savior," would be arrested and taken to prison. And this same man named Paul now, his name earlier was Saul, and he went after these Christians. He despised the name of Christ. He wanted them put to death. He wanted them put away. And so, in the process here of time, as Saul, this man named Saul, gets saved, he comes to know Jesus. The Spirit of God convicts his heart, and he comes by faith to Jesus. No longer is he that self-righteous man that walks by the law, feeling like he can satisfy the law well enough that he doesn't need anything else. Well, as we look at that, we find that that's a problem, because as we know that we cannot keep the law, we're guilty of the law. And if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. And we need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus. Paul, Saul, don't confuse you here, but I need to use both of those names, because the man that was going after Christians was named Saul, and then God changed his name to Paul, the Apostle Paul that we know and we study and we enjoy many of the words that God has used him to write for us, delivered and written by the Holy Spirit. But he recognizes here in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then it says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And so he recognizes here, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." And that's the answer. This is an answer to the despairing question. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me?" And then it continues here in again the 24th verse. So then with the mind we realize here that Paul delights in the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And we see that here. We find in verse 25, "So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God." Now, we have a heart change. And that heart change then, once we come by faith to Jesus and our heart is changed, made new, at that time then also we have this renewing of our mind. Because the heart's been changed, and now the mind can change. And as we surrender to the Holy Spirit and yield to what God is having us to do in our heart, our mind begins to change. And so here it says, so Paul has recognized that. He's experienced that. "So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh," we still have this old body, "the law of sin." So we need to understand that Paul delights in the law of God. He loves the law of God. And we've just been through that here in this 15th verse of chapter 7. Remember that. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." And so it just kind of a miserable round of back and forth trying to understand, what Paul is saying here. And I think you understand it completely. I sure do. I sure do. It just, you know, the things that you want to do, you don't, and the things that you don't want to do, that's what you do, and it just is a terrible rat race that we find ourselves in. And the wonderful opportunity is, or the wonderful statement that we can make here is, that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the first time we have the power to make the right choice. We have the strength to make the right choice. The flesh wins, yes it does, but we have the power to make the right choice. So Paul here says, such then is the unchanging character of these two principles within me. And so he has two characters within him. He has the Holy Spirit, and that's driving his heart and his mind. And then he has the flesh. And so as we look at these principles here, you know, God's holy law is dear to our renewed mind. Remember, we just spoke of that just a few minutes ago. Because we have a new heart, now we have a new mind, and it's been renewed, and so we love the law of God. He has a willing service of the new man. In other words, we want to serve God. We want to begin and be in service unto the Lord. And so we have the new mind, we have the new heart, and now we want to serve Him, and we want to walk with Him. But the corrupt nature, which still remains in me, I listen to too much. It dictates, and its controller is sin. And you see, we still have that in the flesh. We've been born again. There's going to be a day we're going to have a new body. Get rid of this old flesh. But right now, we still have the flesh. But we have the new heart, and the renewing of the mind is possible because of the new heart, because the Holy Spirit is living within us. You know, many believers suffer loss because we have not learned to walk in this precious Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Listen to the heart. The heart that is led and guided by the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit come into your heart? It's the day that you trust in Jesus as your Savior. That is the day that the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. And once again, or for the first time, not once again, but for the first time, you have the power, we have the ability to make a decision for the Lord Jesus, to make a right decision. And then as we do that with that power, surrendering to that power, not to the power of the flesh, but the power of the Holy Spirit, the will of God, and then we begin, our mind begins to change. Because when we do, when we learn to walk, that brings us the victory. And that victory is because Christ in you. And that is wonderful, because we find here that, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The victory comes because we know Jesus as our personal Savior. Christ reigning in our hearts and in our daily walk, that's what gives us or brings victory. We have a couple of verses of Scripture that we looked up last time when we were, some time ago when we studied this back over 2 years ago. They're sure worth looking up again and enjoying. And it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. What a wonderful statement. Now we come over to chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so whosoever is born of God, born again, you need to understand the great need to be born again. And we need to recognize it is not keeping the law or trying to practice the law that we are victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can never be victorious except through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So, yes, we want to keep the law, but it's not our trying to keep the law that gives us victory. We will do that. We'll have a desire to do that. But the victory comes when we surrender to the Holy Spirit. And see, God is the one that's written the law. And so the law is perfect. So what the Spirit of God directs us to do is, yes, to keep the law. But it's the victory comes in surrendering to the Spirit. That's where the victory comes. Walking with the Spirit, enjoying that. The Spirit of God draws us to Him, to the Lord Jesus, to God. We are drawn by the Spirit of God that lives within our heart. We may say that He is the attending physician of our spiritual birth. When I was born prior to birth, and it's contrary to what the world says that from conception on to a period of time, then it's just a fetus, and then all of a sudden it becomes a person. It is a person at conception. The Word of God is very clear of this. And for any man to change that and to say that it is otherwise, it cannot be a Christian. I guess you could be a Christian, but you sure are backslidden if you say that that is not a baby at conception. And so it's wonderful, and to do otherwise, to have an abortion, is nothing short of murder. And there's been quite a conversation, concerning those statements. Is it a doctor that's the murderer? Is it the mother that's the murderer? Anyone that has any involvement in the destruction and destroying of that baby is just that. And so please, if you've been through that, ask Jesus to forgive you. Come to Him by faith. Be born again. Yes, you can be born again, even though you've done this. Be saved, and then ask Him to forgive you for that awful sin. And you'll return into fellowship, and He'll give you victory and give you strength. But understand that it's man that's saying it's acceptable, and it is not in God's eyes, and He is the only one that counts. And so we need to understand those things. If we want a victorious life, we need to have the attending physician. As a doctor brought me into this world, it was the physician that delivered me, so to speak. I was a baby from the time of conception all through that 9-month period, and the day that I was born. The physician attended to my mother and to me prior to that, and upon the time of birth. That I was brought from my mother's womb into this world at that point in time. He still continued to be my attending physician. He cared for me. He saw to that everything was taken care of properly as far as my physical needs. Well, we have the same thing with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our attending physician for all spiritual matters. He brings us, He allows us to have the spiritual birth, and He allows us then to serve Him and enjoy the walk with Him. We are born of the Spirit. He baptizes us into the body of Christ when we accept Jesus as our faith. And that baptism there, that baptize is not with water. We are immersed in the Spirit. What a wonderful day. He seals us until the day of redemption. And yes, he does. We are sealed, eternally saved. The day that you meet Jesus Christ, he saves you and he keeps you, never to be separated. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God, it's the third person of the Trinity, who leads us in the path of victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. In chapter 7, we hear the believer's cry, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Now in chapter 8, we will hear and we will see of this great victory. And there's a couple of verses that we'll read before we ever get to them. And the first one is verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Nay, in verse 37, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. Jesus gives us the victory. What a wonderful opportunity. Now, we do move from chapter 7, and we get to look at chapter 8. And this chapter is one of the most precious chapters in the whole Bible. It is wonderful to study the Word of God, and I love every verse, but this is a precious chapter, and so please that you enjoy it. It says to be the close to the argument that started in chapter 3, verse 21. Let's go back to chapter 3, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. Remember this? Chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteous of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And so as we look, and we really need to read the rest, because as we go on down to verse 31, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So you see, there was many questions, and as we come to the chapter 8, that argument should be closed. Clearly teaches us that righteousness is by faith, not by works, not by keeping the law. And so all the study, and so as we look at this is the third chapter, and then the fourth chapter, as we studied it, we are taught that this gospel, the righteousness by faith, does not stand against or opposed to the Old Testament. We learned that. Remember Moses. So you see, the law is perfect. And so we need to find that this gospel is in accordance. It moves with it. It is not opposed to the Old Testament. A lot of people believe that there's two different ways that folks have gotten saved through the centuries, through the time. And one is in the Old Testament by works, and in the New Testament by faith. No, you have always been saved by faith. It was faith in the Messiah that was coming, the one that Moses and the prophets spoke of. It is no more works. Now, they had works to do, and they would need to do that, but they did it by faith, knowing this represented the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And then the fifth chapter, as we looked at it, we learned that by gospel righteousness, we receive, by the gospel righteousness, we receive by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are kept by the power of God through faith in the finished work of our Savior. And so in the fifth chapter, we learned that the gospel, if we believe in the Lord Jesus, we find that the work was finished by our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are kept by the power of God through faith in the finished work of our Messiah. It all comes together in that fifth chapter. Then in the sixth chapter, so now we've looked at chapter 3, and so we say that this argument it should be completed, because in the third chapter, the fourth chapter, now the fifth chapter, now let's look at the sixth chapter as we had looked at it. It shows that sinful living is not produced nor encouraged by the gospel. It does teach that we are dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when it would be said, as far as does that give you the power, the opportunity to sin, and it says, you know, God forbid. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Is the first question of the sixth chapter. And we have found that sinful living, that desire, is not a part of that. And then when we got to the seventh chapter here, we see that, and in verse chapter 6, we still, the divine nature brings victory to every believer. And now in the seventh chapter, it told us that the believers, we are the sanctification that comes by the law, it is utterly impossible. In other words, we cannot be sanctified by the law. We can be sanctified and that full sanctification to become perfect will not happen until I receive my glorified body. But I tell you what, you have the strength and the power to live towards it. So now in chapter 8, we learn that through the Holy Spirit, who dwells in every believer, empowers us to live a godly life. We desire to live a godly life. That's what comes with being a Christian. We are not bound by the law, but we desire with our heart to keep the law, because the law is perfect. Our God is perfect, and so we desire to keep it, but it is not for the purpose of salvation. Salvation is taken care of by faith, coming by faith to Jesus Christ. But only as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us day by day will that victory come. And so what a wonderful area. Again, we have completed this wonderful study from chapter 3 through this end of the 7th chapter. And now this 8th chapter brings us to a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Because, again, it is one of the most precious chapters in the whole Bible. So we have closed out one section. Now let's see what this next part has to tell us in the 8th chapter. We just have a few moments left to go, but we're going to get started here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation. The original Greek reads, "Therefore now there is not even one bit of condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Not one bit. It is wonderful when a believer relies and realizes that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life and power. That's important for us to understand. I believe that we'll stop giving as much victory to the flesh when we understand that all life and power is given to us through and by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And so we need to walk each day to learn the condemnation has been removed. We're no longer condemned. We have victory. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?